Bueller. Bueller. Testing, testing. Testing. Is it good now? All right. We're going to go to Luke 18. No running.
It's just me walking with my tiny legs.
Yeah. So many steps. So, Luke 18, this is a little parable that Jesus told about the persistent widow. And it's funny how God works, because anytime there's like a speaking engagement, it's like, what do I preach on? During basketball, we were playing basketball pickup game, and one of the kids said to me, like, one of the little kids was like, can I play, can I play, can I play? And he just kept on going and going and going. And then so one of the kids I used to coach says, man, he's like the persistent widow. And I was like, I don't know that story. And why did you just call him a widow? And so we talked about it, and so I wanted to study a little bit about the parable of the persistent widow. So here we are. Luke 18. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. Let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are, all that you've done for us. We thank you for this time that we could come worship you and look to you and learn more about you. And we just thank you for this time. And please help that your words will be spoken through me, not my words, and that we will learn what you want us to today. In the name of Christ we pray. So, this lady, it doesn't talk much about it, but one thing, she was persistent. It talks about being persistent. She was consistent. She came up and she was constantly bothering this guy. I mean, it might not have been bothersome to her, but she wanted this justice. Do we have any of those people that, like, when you get a see on your caller ID someone's calling, you're like, oh, not them again? Or like you walk into church and then there comes someone and you're like, I didn't want to talk to them, but I guess I have to. What has that ever happened? And then, you know, one of the times you'll ignore the phone call, and then a couple minutes later they'll call again. You'll ignore it again. I'm busy. I'm definitely busy. And then they'll text you, I really need to talk to you. You call them, and they're like, hey, I just wanted to call you because I had free tickets to something and I wanted to give them to you. So something that you weren't expecting at all, but then it ended up being completely different than what you were expecting. You were expecting to talk to them for a long time. You're going to have to counsel them in some way. You're going to have to like go out of your way to help them. And then they ended up, you finally answer the call, and now they're helping you in some way or fashion, making your life better. So this lady, she just kept on going. You know, what in life are we persistent with? Are we persistent in the good things? Are we persistent in the bad things? Are we consistent in the good things, or are we consistent in the bad things? 2 Corinthians 8:21. If you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians 8:21. Says, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the sight, in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. And with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters. But that first part, we aim what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. If you have to make one person happy, who's it going to be? Are you... And you have to make that decision, like, well, I'm going to go to church, but I'm going to be late. Or, you know, there's a decision. You're either going to make man happy or God happy. Which one would you prefer to make more happy at that time? Which one is it going to be? How do we decipher if it is going to make God happy or not make God happy? Is our wants and thoughts in line with God's thoughts for us? The part when the lady says, give me justice. She didn't just wait. There, she wanted it, so she kept on going back. I think about that story of the flood. I know I've told this story before, but there was the flood and the waters were coming up, and the guy was up to his knees in water, and a boat came by, and he was like, "No, don't worry, God will save me. Just keep going." And then the floods came up higher, and he was on the second floor of his house, and the floods were up there, and the boat came by, and he's like, don't worry about it, God will save me. And then the waters eventually rose to his roof, and the guy's sitting on his roof, and the boat's like, hey, we're the last boat, get on, otherwise you're not going to make it. And he was like, it's fine, God will save me. And then when he gets to heaven, he was like, God, what happened there? And he's like, I sent three boats, but you got to get up and do something. So this lady worked. She kept on going back, and she kept on being consistent and persistent. And she just was not content with her outcome. So we have to go out and do things. And, you know, have we ever said that I'll pray for you, or I've been praying for you, and then not prayed for that person? Get right away, pray for that person. Or actually do what you say and pray. Revelation 6. This one's a shorter one. You don't have to turn if you don't want to. Revelation 6, 9 and 10. When he opened... Make sure this is the right one. Oh, hopefully I wrote it down right. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves have been. So sometimes when we're asking for that answer, it takes a little bit. It takes some time. That uneasy time where you're just not sure what's going to happen. So what do you do? They say to wait on the Lord, and sometimes that's a struggle. Your mind's going in all different directions. Like, well, should I do this and should I do that? And does the Lord want me to go again or should I wait? And there's all these questions. In God's time, He will give you that answer. Verse 11, they were each given a white robe and were told to rest a little longer. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, is waiting. Waiting for God's timing. James 5, this one you could turn to. This is a good set of verses. James 5, starting in verse 7. Be patient. This is the title of this section of scripture is called Patience in Suffering. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door as an example of suffering and patience. Brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So right at the beginning of that, be patient, which is one of the hardest things to do. Pretty sure it's on that wall. We were talking about the fruit of the Spirit this morning, and how you look at that wall and it's like a reminder, and you think of those nine things, and it, you know, do I have love today? Do I wake up in the morning, am I happy? I heard this thing this week, and it said you have a decision to make every time when you wake up, whether you're going to be happy or you're going to be upset or angry. You decide how your day goes. So how do you start your day? Is it, you know, not being patient, just all of a sudden angrily, oh, I got this to do, I don't want to do that, and you just start in that bitterness? Or do you wake up and you see the sun shining, and it's like, there's God shining, making the grass grow so I get to mow the lawn one more time? It's, you know, how are we looking at it? How is our hearts so that we're looking at it? You go through, keep going through that fruit of the Spirit, patience. Am I going to have patience today? Waiting in that Dunkin' Donuts line, that the thing I don't need, it's going to take me extra time and make me late today? That was in line this today, and we were waiting for about 2 minutes, and the car in front of me just got out of line. He was done with it. Apparently, he needed his coffee so bad that he had to go somewhere else to get it faster. Are we going to be kind? What is that? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, it's when you're angry, it's hard to obviously have self-control, but are you going to be gentle in those times? You're not going to normally close the door gently if you're angry, right? It's a good thing that cabinet doors have soft close now. You can't slam them anymore. But God's timing, have that patience. And we see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit. Have any of you tried to plant a seed and then try to watch it grow? I'm not good at the whole seed thing, so I have to buy the plants when they're like little. But it's hard, it's time consuming, and you have to be consistent in the watering for that particular plant. I remember last year, I had the knee surgery, so I couldn't get around too well, and so I bought a variety of plants. A friend of mine came over, planted some stuff for me, and so we did strawberries. Strawberries like to be on a mound. They like to be wet all the time, but not like flooded. So like you have to constantly water them, and then because they're on a mound, the water doesn't sit there, like it just runs off. So you have to constantly go out there and water. So because I was at home and, you know, my wife was yelling at me to sit down, I would go out there and water the plants every now and then, and we actually had strawberries for quite some time because I consistently watered these strawberries. The other random plants didn't do good, but the strawberries, because they were right there, did pretty well. But it was a consistent feeding, and they never dried out. And are we like that with the Bible? Do we ever get, you know, do we miss a Sunday and then we miss the second Sunday? And now it's, are we getting dried out from God? Are we getting that consistent feeding? Are we doing, is there something in our life that continues that one-on-one with God, that we're constantly in His Word and in Him being the on our minds day and night, but it is His will what we really want? Psalm 37:4 says, He will give you the desires of your heart, but are your desires the same desires that His are for you? So as that farmer waits for the precious fruit, being patient until it receives the early and the late rains. So another thing with the planting, the early and late. So when you're doing grass and things like that, it is very important to water the grass early in the morning and late at night. If you do it during the day, you have to soak it completely, otherwise it burns out. If you do it lightly, the water acts like a magnifying glass with the sun and will actually burn it out. So if you do it during the day, you have to soak it. But it's just another example of how to start your day with God and finish the day with God. But during the middle of the day, make sure you soak it up, because it's all around you at all times. You also establish your hearts. And then how do we establish our hearts? 1 John 4:7 says, love one another. You know, thinking the best about the other person, putting our mind on God. Get your hearts ready for what's coming, what the Lord has at hand. Philippians 4:5, be anxious for nothing. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. And then Matthew 7 talks about not judging. You take the speck out of your own eye before you take the plank out of your brother's eye. You know, are we looking at others? Are we looking at ourselves? Are we looking at God on our everyday? When we look at different things, and if you go through your week, in the times that you were most upset, what were you looking at? The times that you were the happiest, what were you looking at? The times where you seem to have succeeded the most, what were you looking at? I know we have VBS coming up, and it seems like every time VBS happens, random bad things happen. So I remember one year, we kicked in the shed door. Someone had a flat tire. Someone's car didn't work. It was just like random little things to get us. And when you see these bad things happen, you're like, well, am I doing it right? Is there something I should have been doing? But it's to take your focus. It's a lot of times that is something trying to take your focus off what the end goal is, what is supposed to happen. I know every time I have to preach or do a message or something like that, the end of my week towards that Sunday gets excessively busy, which is how it happens. We ended up getting a dog yesterday, and I didn't really have any work on Friday. I worked until we came to family night. I worked all day and came right from family night to here, or from work to here. It's just what happens. It gets filled up with other things to take your mind off of what God really wants to have. And it's easy to get distracted and to get your mind off of things. And thankfully, when I was at work, I was working with other Christian fellows, and we were talking about God. They had Christian music on, and we were I actually had a work environment where I was able to do that. But if not, if it was with a different group, it would have been the complete opposite of that. It would have been everything but God being talked about. But the Lord has a plan. You may not see it, but you have to step back, look, know that he's in control. So, as an example of suffering and patience, brother, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. Romans 8:37, you don't have to turn. No, Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's there at all times. We think of that famous poem, The Footsteps, and it was there where he carried us, that we only saw the one. So we'll go quick back to Luke 18. For a while, verse 4, for a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. So this guy finally gave in. You know, clearly he wasn't someone that like thought about God too much. He was only thinking of himself to actually help this woman. So the Lord will work in mysterious ways. Things that we don't see coming, he will do something. So as long as we are walking correctly. But he gave her justice, the payoff. Once we get that, the thing that we were looking for, you know, do you think that lady held a grudge against that guy? Like the ruler that finally, like, gave her the justice? Do you think she held a grudge? he doesn't talk about it, but would you hold a grudge? Something you were like, well, I tried over and over and over. Finally, this guy did what he was supposed to do. And then so you got your way of what was right. And now afterwards, you're telling the people, oh, I got my way. But this person took forever doing it. You know, is that the right attitude? And it's easy to fall into something like that. And because we all deal with all different people on a daily basis. And it's easy to badmouth somebody. It's very easy. And even if they eventually helped you, oh, yeah, this guy was supposed to help me. It helped me move, and he didn't show up. But then he finally helped me move on Saturday night. But, like, I was late with everything. But he helped me move. You know, are we content with the outcome? Are we praising the Lord? Or are we looking at only the bad things? And once again, that comes down to, where's your mind? Is your mind on the godly things? Or is it looking at yourself like this ruler was? Like, I'm only doing this so she doesn't bother me anymore. Where is your mind? We heard a message a couple weeks ago. It was, are you good with God? And can you go and ask him for anything? And that got me. Because can I ask God for anything? Is that possible? My kids are very persistent and consistent at asking for ice cream. I know when we go home today, I will have at least two ask me for ice cream at least twice. And will that pay off? Will that consistency and that persistence, and how will I handle that? And will I go for my own benefit? Will I say yes just because I want the ice cream? We'll see. But you have that going to God with anything like that. If my kids were being bad, they wouldn't be able to, they would already know that the answer would be no if they were bad. If Kenneth slapped Bailey and then Bailey slapped Shy and Shy slapped Kenneth, like if that all happened, I could guarantee immediately after me telling them to go to their rooms and don't, they're not going to be like from their room, hey, can we have ice cream? It's not going to happen. But if they're all being nice to each other and laughing, chances are pretty good they're going to ask me for ice cream at some point. So are we good with God in that standpoint where we can ask him for anything? Are his desires our desires? 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10. Oh, it will go 8, 9, and 10. But do not overlook this fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all shall reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So the Lord's not slow to fulfill his promise. He knows what he's doing. I know sometimes when we're watching sports games or things and the coach makes a move and you're like, what is this guy doing? But he's studied, he's had plans, he's had, you know, advice from other people, and then you're like, oh, well, that worked pretty good. I wouldn't have done that, but you know, that worked out. God is like the ultimate coach. He's the ultimate planner. He knows what's going to happen, and he's ready for the things to come. Verse 7 of Luke 18. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? So will not God give justice to his elect? It talks about he takes care of the birds of the air. He will take care of his people. I know growing up we always said if we were on a mission, my dad talked about this all the time, and he has stories about how he got in a car accident, the car still worked to get to the mission conference or whatever. And so I'm a very firm believer in if you're doing something for God, he will protect you right through that. And we've seen things to prove that with, you know, different missionaries, some of their stories and things like that. But if you are truly doing the work of God, he will protect you. He will give you the answers that you need at the times that you need them. But you can't just expect that that's going to happen like the guy sitting on his roof with the flood. You can't just, well, God will give me the answer when I need it so I don't have to study or anything. You have to be in his word, and things will just, he will make himself known to you and show you things that you haven't seen. Verse 8, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. Will he find faith on earth? So that's the story of the persistent woman, which I wasn't super familiar with a couple of weeks ago. But are we persistent in, you know, things of God? Do we, if it doesn't work, do we try again? I remember a long time ago, I was looking through my old notes, and one of the things in the notes, it said, you know, how many times have you failed lately? If you haven't failed lately, it means you haven't tried anything new lately. So go out and fail. Try something new. Be persistent. If you know that's what God wants you to do, be persistent. You know, don't be annoying, but be persistent. Be consistent in with God. One of the things I was like studying and was about the head of a household and how to be that head of the household. And one thing that keeps coming up with that is consistency. Just knowing what to expect. Well, what's Dad's answer going to be with this? Well, we kind of already know it. We don't really have to ask, but we'll try. You know, what are you consistent in? Are you consistently sinning in a certain area? Are you consistently reading? Are you consistently praying? Are you there day and at night? Like, what is it that you're consistent with? And trying to make that consistency this in line with God's consistency. Because he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Are we humble? This being humble has to go with like the next thing, but are we humble about it? I know when a young player or basketball player or sports player, they start to be able to say shoot a three-pointer, they will tell everybody, hey, check this out, I could shoot a three-pointer. My little nephew, he's Jackson, he's very little, so like a three-pointer is far for him, and he's like, oh, Josh, Uncle Josh, watch this. I'm like, Steph Curry, shooting the three-pointer. And I was like, well, come up closer and make sure you could shoot close first before you go far away. And then you get a seasoned basketball player who is probably good, and they'll be like, hey, are you good at three-pointers? Yeah, I'm okay. And it's just, this guy's the best shooter I've ever seen. And he just said he's okay. And, you know, are you humble? It's, you know, he's new and excited, so I'm not going to say that he's sinning by being excited that he's making a three-pointer at this point. It is an impressive feat for a little guy that big throwing a ball that far. But, you know, are we humble in the things of God? Or, you know, you see somebody that hasn't gone to church for a while. Well, I went to church 3 times this week. What'd you do? Be patient. You know, with that person that you're inviting to church, invite them. Be persistent. Be consistent. Don't be annoying, but be patient waiting for them and their time to come. Be patient with others. If we're doing a church project and it's not going exactly how you would do it, be patient. Wait. Maybe they have a plan that you didn't see, but be patient. Look for the best in the people. Don't assume the worst. So be patient with others and wait for God and his timing. And then work together towards a goal. So as you go throughout the week and on, you know, make sure you're right with God. Make sure you're aligned with God so that his will and your will, they kind of line up. If you mess up, be patient with yourself. Because you are human. He knows you're going to mess up. It doesn't mean he's going to love you any less. He's still going to love you. and you just pick yourself up and you move on and you try it again. You know, don't be afraid of failing. It's a tough one. During that time of waiting for your seed to be planted and grow, be patient, wait for the Lord. Because in the end, he will give you justice. It'll come, and it'll be from him. So be like that widow. Try not to call anyone a persistent widow. It's a weird nickname. But we'll just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the lesson of the persistent widow. And we just hope and pray that our desires will be the same as what you want for us, and that we trust your plan and your process, and that we will just humbly be patient and wait for you. And again, we thank you for this time, and we just thank you that we're able to sit here and learn about you. And in the name of Christ, we pray.